Last hour, we got to hear Brother Hiawatha Jones talk to us about his program, our program down in Guatemala. Hiawatha is going to be presenting a lesson here in just a few minutes. Hiawatha went to Guatemala about 12 years ago and established a congregation and have got a lot of great things going on down there. We've had several folks from this congregation to go and visit, and several in this audience have were down there a few years ago. We have another team going this summer, so if you're interested, please let me know. I think I know who is in, who has an interest. But Brother Hiawatha is going to bring us a lesson at this point, and we just encourage you to ask lots of questions about the work down there. And Brother Hiawatha.
Looked outside to check the weather to make sure no blizzard was coming up, and somebody said that it's cloudy out, Brother High, and said, "Oh, we might have to cancel services." And somebody else told me, said, "Well, it's cloudy out, so we might have to cancel lunch." I told him, "You can cancel that anyway, because chances are we won't be out of here in time to do that this morning anyway." And you laugh now. One preacher was up preaching, and he looked out over the audience and saw a man sleeping, sitting next to a lady, and of course figured the man was her husband, and he yells to the guy, to the lady, he says, "Wake your husband up." The lady said, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up." So I'm gonna try not to put anybody to sleep this morning, but I think you can hang with me for about a couple hours, and then we'll be all right. And so I don't want to be like the one person, though, where the preacher was up. Well, I just might be like that preacher, in fact. The preacher was up preaching and did notice some people were asleep in the audience. And said he got up there, and he was just preaching his heart out about Jesus Christ, and he's noticing Brother Jones was up front falling asleep. And said he was, while he was falling asleep, he was talking about God is precious, God is love, and God is the most powerful, God is almighty, and he was just getting louder and louder and louder. And by that time, Brother Jones had already quite nodded off. And so then he started speaking rather softly, and he says, "But the devil," said, "the devil is mean, the devil is crafty. And said, the devil will cause us to lose our souls." And he says, real loud, "Brother Jones, what do you think about him?" Brother Jones woke up and said, "Well, I love him, and I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life." So I'll try not to call on you if I catch you falling asleep, because I know some of your names. This is a Super Bowl Sunday, so trying to decide what to preach on today. And the truth is, I didn't know it was Super Bowl Sunday. I got in yesterday morning after traveling from Indianapolis, Indiana. I arrived in Indianapolis, Indiana, and before I left Guatemala to go to Indianapolis, I tried to make a car reservation. And cars were running $200-something a day. And I told Byron, I said, "Something must be going on in Indianapolis." So being in Guatemala, we come to the conclusion it was probably a car race because of the Indianapolis 500. And then I tried to make a hotel reservation, and hotels were running, listen to this, church, $1,599 per night. Yeah, so I told Byron, I said, I think there might be something going on there at prices this, and I know you guys support us well, but we can't pay that much per night. So I traveled yesterday, and I was there for 2 days, and man, it is literally a madhouse there. I had to leave to catch a plane yesterday morning My flight left at 6 o'clock in the morning. I left my hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning to fight the festivities that were going on, to dodge the drunks on the highway. I traveled to Nashville, Tennessee. Then I drove to Henderson, Tennessee from Nashville because we're going to be at the lectureship there with our Guatemala booth. I drove back from Henderson, Tennessee to be at the Davis's house last night. Yeah, that's right. Nashville, Henderson, the Davis's house. Yeah, you got that right. And I went to bed last night about, 19 minutes before 12. I don't want to hear that you're tired this morning. Okay? Now that I've got that off my chest, I feel much better now. God is good, isn't he? Trying to decide what to talk about. And this week, I said something to somebody just so I could get a point for a sermon. Okay? I said, 'Tis the season to be jolly. And the lady looked at me and she says, no, that was December. No wonder we're not happy anymore. That's only in December that we can do that. So I figured I can't preach on Christmas. So then I thought, well, maybe I can talk about New Year's resolutions. We've already blown most of those, haven't we? Yeah. I heard a lady just a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I'm not going to do my New Year's resolution now. I've already blown it. This is like the 15th of January. She says, I've already blown it, so I'll just start again next year. And her New Year's resolution was to lose 25 pounds. And she says, I've already blown it, so I'll start next year. And she's eating her donut. Yeah. So I decided I can't talk on New Year's resolutions. So then that's kind of like, well, then what can I talk about this morning? And then this is February, okay? And this is the month of what? Okay, let's say it together, church. This is the month of love. So I just thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a head start. I'm going to get a jump on things. And I'm going to talk about love. Yeah. For the next 3.5 hours, we're going... I don't know why you laugh when I say that. I have preached here before. And you know I'm a man of my word. So I'd appreciate if you would show me a little respect when I say that. For the next 3 hours, that's better, okay. We're going to talk about love. But it's not the love that we normally talk about. Church and visitors, we love everything, don't we? You know what? We love everything, but we truly do not love anything. We love our cars. How many times have you said, oh, I just love my car? How many of you ever said that? Raise your hand. Be honest. The Lord knows. And then what do we do with it in 2 or 3 years? We trade it. Yeah. I love pizza. Burn it. And see what we do with it. Now we fall in love, and then we fall what? Out of. You know what? The divorce rate is higher now than it's ever been. Because there is no true concept of what love is. And sadly, we have bought into that. That's 4 hours right there. We have bought into that of loving everything. Love this, falling in love, falling out of love. I heard one guy say one time, said, I've heard so many sermons about love that it's running out my ears. And I told him, that's the wrong body part. It should be out of your heart, not your ears. So we're going to talk about love. Sing this song with me. Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to Onward I go, closely to Him I cling, blessings still flow. I love my Savior, I love my Savior too. I love my Savior, He loves me too. I see His favor in everything I do. I love my Savior. Is that true? I want to ask this morning, is that true? I want to ask the congregation here, I want each individual to ask yourself, is that true? I love my Savior. Is it biblical love, or is it the type of love that the world is so prone to put upon us? The I fall in love, I fall out of love, I love my car, I love my house, I love this, I love this, I love that. What kind of love is it? Church, we just had a text read before us, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that text tells us what real love is. But that text also tells us that I don't care what we're doing, I don't care how we're doing it, if we don't have love, it's worthless. Are you listening, church? Are you listening? If we do not have love, biblical love, it's worthless. The text says here that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I do not have what, church? I do not have what, church? Love. The Bible says I'm like a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have the faith as to remove mountains, but I don't have what, church? Love. I am nothing. Listen, church. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I deliver my body to be burned, and I do not have what, church? Love. It profits me nothing. And then he goes on to tell us what love is. And this is not what we'll get from the world. This is the definition we have to take. It says, love is patient. How patient are you? Love is kind. How kind are we in all situations? Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't take into account wrongs when it's suffered. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, endures all things. Love never. Love never, what, church? Fails. Prophecy is going to be done away with. Tongues are going to cease. Knowledge is going to be done away with. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect has come, the part's going to be done away with. And he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Verse 12, now we see in a mirror dimly, but we're going to see face to face. And then verse 13, but now abide faith, hope, and love. But church, the greatest of these is what? Love. And we're not talking about this February 14th love, where everybody falls in love and you got to go buy a Valentine's box of chocolate candy so you can help somebody break their New Year's resolution that they broke on January the 15th anyway. That's not the love. We're talking about true, genuine love has been demonstrated here. Is that the kind of love we want to have, church? That's a question. This is yes. This is no. I don't know. I don't care. Is that the kind of love we want to have, church? It is. The month of love. Very quickly, I want us to just talk about three areas, okay? Three areas where I want us to make sure that our love is not as the world would have it, but our love is as the Bible would have it. And as we go through the rest of 2012, I want us every day to ask ourselves, do I love as the Bible would have me love? What's the three areas? What's the three areas? First of all, church and visitors, I want to encourage us to love God. Are you with me? Some of you are sleeping already. Love God. And you, some of you will say, but now, Brother Hyde, that's basic. Why would you talk to us in the month of love about loving God? And church, the reason is because there are so many people that do not love God. In fact, what we really need to do is we need to step back and we need to ask the question, when you say love God, who or what are you talking about? Because God knew that we would have problems with that. Over in Exodus chapter 20, when they were given the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God said to them, "You shall have no other gods before me." Here's the question this morning. Who or what is your God? Now, once we establish that, then you'll understand better why Brother High is saying we need to make sure we love God. Do you know your job can be your God? Do you know your family can be your God? Your wife can be your God. Your husband can be your God. Your children can be your God. That's not what we're talking about. God Almighty. Do you know the number one God that stands in our way of loving God is? Anybody wants to know? You want to know what the number one answer is? Okay, everybody do this. Do this, everybody. This is an exercise you all can participate in. Okay. You don't have to have a degree. Do this. The number one God that stands in our way of loving God. The number one God. Everybody, do this. Do this. And follow my directions, okay? If I catch you cheating, I'm going to call you up here and make you do it in front of everybody. Yeah, I said I'll do it, and I'll do it. Okay, here's the number one thing, the number one being that keeps us from loving God. Everybody do this. Yeah. And I know some of you want to go like this. You know. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark records for us something very, very important here. There's someone coming before Jesus, and they want to know something about the commands, about the commandments. In verse 28, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." Listen, church. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength." Church, read out loud with me verse 30. What does the text say? Let's read it together. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your, with all of your, with all of your, with all of your. What's he saying to us? He's saying here, you have to love, you need to love God with everything you are, everything you have, everything you will be. Love your God. And we've already established, we're not talking about gods with a little g. But we're talking about God. Church, imagine what our world would be like if people loved God. Imagine what the church would be like if we truly loved God and put all these little gods aside and loved God with our heart, our emotional seat, with our souls, our spiritual inner being, with our minds, everything we think. It's always a thought process of, will it please my God? With our strength, putting everything we have into it, what do we give God? Church, that's determined by how much we love our God. Everything we have. I want to encourage us in this month of what, church? Love. I want to encourage us to love God. Everything we have with our mind. You know, when we started talking about our minds, when he says loving with your mind, that's who you are. How many times have you said, now I won't ask for sure hand, but how many times have you said, when you get upset with somebody, I'm going to give him a piece of my, what, church? Now, come on, tell the truth. I'm going to give him a piece of my what? Mind. Rush, you know, that's why we got so many crazy people now. It is, because we've given our minds away. Yeah. But when I say that, I'm saying, I'm gonna let him know what I think, who I am, how I feel. Am I right? Then the writer says, love God with your mind. All that you are, all that you think, all that you feel, love God. That's number one. Number two, for those of you that's counting, number two, love his word. Somebody might say, well, now, Brother High, you know, that's basic too, but church, we're getting away from the word. We're getting away from it. It used to be, let's do this, let's say this. And it used to be, what does the word say about it? We're getting away from that. Now it's, you know, well, what does Brother So-and-so think about it? Who's got the latest book out on it? What do they say about it? Church, this is our guide. Am I right? Let me ask that one more time. This is our guide. Am I right? Do you know what used to be? And this is a story that I heard, and I can't remember where I heard it. In fact, I read it somewhere a while back, and I can't remember where I read it. And if you don't believe me, Google it. Okay, you'll find it. But the story went, and it took place somewhere in Tennessee, where there was a courtroom, and they were about to have a trial, and they were about to call a witness on the witness stand, and they couldn't find the Bible. Years ago, you know, couldn't find the Bible. And the writing goes on to say that the judge said, they're all panicking around, they can't find the Bible. And the judge said, well, is there anyone in the courtroom that's a member of the Church of Christ? And a man raised his hand and said, I am. He says, come forward. He says, from this moment on, said, you just lay your hand on top of his head. Said, because if anybody knows the Bible, the Church of Christ, they all know the Bible. Isn't that a compliment? Could we receive that today? That we know the Word? That we are people of the Word? 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the writer there says, I've written these things. I've written these things so that you can know. You can know you have eternal life. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Is it because Brother High tells you you're saved? That how you know? Brother Russ tells you you're saved? That how you know? Let me tell you something. Brother Russ can be wrong. And it's rare that I am, but sometimes I can be. How do you know you're saved? Here's how you know. Only through what is written. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. James chapter 1, verse 21. Salvation comes from the Word. One day, we're going to stand before God Almighty. And when we stand before God Almighty, God's going to judge us. And he's going to judge us by the things that's written in the Word. Church, visitors, love his Word. This is how you know God. This is how you know what he wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do. This is how you know where he wants you to go, where he doesn't want. Love his Word. Study his Word. Be in his Word. Church, somebody made the statement, somebody said we're leaving the old paths, and a lot of cases we are, but you know what? I'm not so worried about the old paths, but I am concerned about the Word. It's God's plan to us. Things will come, things will go. The Bible says in 1 Peter that the flowers will come, the flowers will go. The grass will come, the grass will go. But church, there's something that abides forever. And what's that? The Word of God. Love God, church. Love His Word. And the last point this morning, last point, and I said last point, okay? I didn't say we're done. So don't get all happy and start grabbing for your songbook, no. Love his church. Love his church, church. Love God. Love his Word. Love his church. When we talk about his church, you know, there are two aspects of the church. One of them is the divine side. Joel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2 says a kingdom is coming. A kingdom is coming, and to this kingdom there will be no end. A prophecy. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says to Peter and the rest of the disciples, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And they start to tell him who men say that he is. John the Baptist. Elijah. Jesus said, but now who do you say that I am? And he's, you know, Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, you know, upon your confession, upon that confession, he's talking about that confession of faith. You know, I'm going to build my church, he says. And he says, the gates of Hades, some versions will read, the gates of hell, some versions will read, will not prevail against it. That's the divine side of the church. Love that church. Love that church. Acts chapter 2, we see Peter preaching the first gospel sermon. We see people being baptized for the remission of their sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 47, we see God adding people to that church. Love the church, church. The divine side. And we see over in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus loved that church so much. What did he do? What did he do, church? What did he do, church? He died for the church. Loved the church. The divine side of the church. Prophesied, promised, came into fulfillment. He died for the church. We know all that. Love it. That side of the church is normally a little bit easier to love because that's the side we talk about a lot. But church, there's another side that I want to encourage us to love, and that's, how about the people in the church? That's the other side. And that's not always easy, is it? That's not, you know, I just wish everybody in the church was just like me. Now, all I did was I said something that a lot of us say. If everybody was just like us, imagine. I don't know why, but it's a reality, and that's, I don't know why people who do not like people get public jobs. You seen that? People who just despise people. And they work where they have to work with what? People. They get public jobs. They get a job at Walmart. Yeah. They're the cashier. And you get to the counter, and they're standing there like this. Or do they're walking down the aisle in the store, and you go, you know, excuse me. And they go. It's kind of like, what do you want? I know they come up to you, and they can I help you? And I look at them and I go, no. And you wonder, how did you get this job? You know, I went to the store one time and the lady said, and I said, do you have so-and-so? She says, but I want you to know that's not my department. And I said, well, do you get paid by departments? She says, what do you mean? I said, so if your department doesn't make any money today, do you still get paid? She says, what do you want? I could tell there was a deep, deep love for me from this woman. How did you get that job? Church, if we can understand that, then here's something we can understand that's a whole lot deeper and a whole lot more profound. Christianity is only for people. Do you know that? Christ came, Christ died for people. And how many people are in the church that don't like people? How many people in the church that we don't like each other? A couple of the texts and the lessons yours this morning. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and following. Here's what the Bible says. A new command I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this shall all men know if you are my disciples. Are you with me so far? You with me? Everybody with me? Okay. Russ, you have your Bible there. John chapter 13, verse 35. What's the text say? I want the people here to know that this is true, okay? For those who do not have your Bibles, listen, okay? What does the text say? By this what? By this all men shall know what? By this all men shall know that you are my disciples. Start up again, Russ. What did you say? By this what? By this all men shall know what, Russ? That you are my disciples. If what? If you have a great building. We've missed the boat, church. Russ, what does the text say one more time? By this what? By this, all men will know what? Do you want everybody to know we're disciples of his? Yeah. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What does the text say, Russ? If you have upward basketball. By this shall all men know you have my disciples because you get here at 8 o'clock in the morning and have breakfast together while I'm trying to sleep. And those of you who got upset because I wasn't here this morning to have breakfast, get over it. I got that off my chest now. I feel much better. What's amazing what you can get off your chest up here. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Look around, church. This is your family. People passing up and down this street, they're going to know you're his disciples. They're going to know it because of the love they see for God's people. I encourage you this morning, love the church. Love his people. 1 John chapter 4 says, you say you love God and you've never seen him. But you don't love your brother with whom you have contact every day. You see, the text says we're not truthful. We're a liar. If I say I love God and I don't love my brother. In the month of love, in the year 2012, be known as a church that loves each other. Now, everybody's two favorite words of the sermon. Okay? In conclusion. Wake the person up next to you. You can wake up. Get the songbook, whatever you need to do to look like you're doing what's right, like you were interested. Love God. It's God Almighty is why you're here this morning. It's God Almighty why you do what you do, go where you go, say what you say, because he gives you his grace. You haven't done anything. I haven't done. It's because of him. So many times we get so mighty, so powerful, so this, so that, and we forget it's God we serve. Love him. With everything you have, everything you are, everything you will be, love him. Love his word. It can save you. It's going to judge you. When it comes down to finding what's right and what's wrong, it's going to tell you. When you have this opinion, you have that opinion, this opinion, that opinion, it's going to be the guide. It's either this or it's every man for himself. And I believe it's this, church. Love his word. Let it be your guide. Let it be your basics. Let it be why you do what you do, because you have it here. And love his church. The divine side, the people side. Love his church. We're going to sing an invitation song. Maybe there's someone in this audience this morning that you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then you're not so concerned with a lot of the things we're talking about. You're concerned more so with becoming a child of God. Because it's only after you become a child of God that you're going to love God as you should. That you're going to love his word. You're going to love his church. This morning, as we had two certificates at the beginning for people who had been immersed into Christ, and maybe you haven't done that this morning and you need to do that. And you know what? Jesus said it best when Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to do what? Keep my commandments. Here they are. This morning you need to obey him. You need to come believing that he is, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Willing and ready to repent of your sins, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, verse 5. You have to come this morning ready to make that sweet confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, I'm the Son of God, and he killed him for it. We can make that sweet confession. It can bring us eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. That's where you come in contact with the blood. That's where you come in contact with the saving blood. You go down old, you come up new. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You come up new, you come up a Christian. And then you're ready to serve him. If you haven't done that, we invite you to do that this morning. Maybe there's someone in this audience this morning that your love has been the worldly love. You've fallen in love, you've fallen out of love. You love this, you love this. But when it comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you haven't loved as God would have you love. You haven't loved God. You haven't loved his word. You haven't loved his church. If you need the prayers of the church, we're here to help you in any way we can as well. The month of what, church? Love. Love God. Love his word. Love his church. Not only in this month, but throughout the whole year and the years that will follow. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, we invite you to do so as together we stand to sing the song to encourage you.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that